Today is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Our readings from the scripture are from Ezekiel chapter 17, verses 22 through 24, Psalm 1, and the gospel according to Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. The message is titled, Seeds Sown. Ezekiel chapter 17, beginning at verse 22. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the forest will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green trees and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Here ends a reading from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 17, Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Here ends Psalm 1. The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. Jesus is telling another parable. He, Jesus, also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Here ends the reading from the Gospel according to Mark. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and that things that had grown old are being made new. And all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer from the Galicium Sacramentary, our prayer this day. I don't remember when I first learned this or where I was when I first learned this. Perhaps you know it too, and it sort of goes like this. Inch by inch and row by row, gonna make this garden grow. Familiar with you? Mulch it deep, low, gonna make it fertile ground. It goes inch by inch, row by row, please bless the seeds I sow. I mean, please keep them safe below till the rain comes tumbling down. There's a lot more words to this children's song. And it also became a popular folk song. It's known as the Garden Song, written by David Mallett back in 1975, covered by Paul Stuckey. You know Peter, Paul, and Mary, Paul Stuckey. John Denver took it up the charts. Pete Seeger, along with many others, including the Muppets. Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow, gonna make it. We tend and we care for the garden, but the Lord does the growing. I mean, it makes more sense, these words, please bless these seeds I sow, bless them, keep them safe below. Those are much more fitting words to express the reality of planting seeds and having them grow. When I was a child, elementary age, perhaps you also did this too, we would carefully crack an egg just around the top, just taking that little crown of the egg off, just a teeny tiny bit so we can empty out the insides of the egg. You know, I had to shake it to empty it out. And then after it was empty, we would wash the eggs inside and outside. Carefully wash them. You don't want to break the egg. And then you set it aside to dry. And then once it was dry, we'd get those markers and we'd start drawing funny faces on the eggs. The empty eggshell, draw a funny face. And then set it aside to dry again. Next, we would add soil. And then we'd drop a few grass seed into the top, into that dirt that we put in it, just a little water, and then the waiting would begin. I remember checking every day, looking into the top of my eggshell. Any signs of growing? Nope, not yet. Another day, not yet, another day, not yet, another day. Oh, I think I see green specks starting to appear. And you know the excitement of a child. Hey, come see this. I think there's green specks. And then there's more days, more checking. And those green specks began to become little green lines. And it continued to grow. A little bit of water, just a little bit of water. And soon my funny face eggshell had sprouted a head full of green hair. How long will the hair get? I remember getting scissors and giving a little haircut. And watched it, well, continue to grow, watch it grow back again. Wait and see. I mean, there was nothing, and then there was green hair. I mean, I had to wait for the green hair to grow. You know, my own homemade chia pet. I mean, through the years, sometimes I would have a funny man, and it would remain bald. My seeds didn't grow. And then other times, I'd get a rich, full, dense of wonderful green hair. It had grown. Do you remember doing that as a kid? If not, go home and be a kid and do it. I mean, this is the wonder of seeds. Scatter and plant the seeds, then wait and see what happens. For me, farmers are truly amazing people of faith. I've watched them plant thousands upon thousands of dollars worth of seeds into the ground. Thousands upon thousands of dollars. And then following month after month, more dollars into fuel for the equipment, fertilizer carrying, and then row after row after row caring for the crops. One time when I was in Callander with the extended family there, and the extended family has several farms there around Callander and there in Iowa, and I was asked if I would help walk the beans. They had 7 acres that needed to be walked. Sure, I'll give it a try. So off in the pickup we went, a couple of us, and at the field I was given instructions by my cousin's husband. So my dad's cousin, her husband, is now the main farmer of the field, but it's a family farm and all that. And he was given instructions. This is the bean plant. This is a weed. This is the hook of the pulling rod. When you see a weed, this is a weed. When you see a weed, you pull the weed out. You cut the weed out. You just cut the weed. Don't hurt the bean plants. And so after those instructions, making sure I understood, this is a weed, this is the bean plant, off we went. Up and down rows. Up and down rows. This small hook, too, there's a weed. Yank it out. Several hours we walked up and down the rows, pulling weeds. At this time, the bean plants were about knee high when we did this. Another time in calendar, there for a funeral. My grandmother had gone home to the Lord a few weeks after her 100th birthday. The service would be in Calendar, where she grew up, Calendar, Iowa. And for me, this would be a very memorable moment. The service would be in Our Savior's Lutheran Church there in Calendar, Iowa. Our Savior's Lutheran Church is where my great-grandfather, the Reverend J.J. Lee, was pastor, and also where my grandfather, the Reverend Donald G. Lee, served as pastor too. And it's obviously the place my grandfather met my grandmother, Ruth Peterson, and the Peterson family farm is still there. And for my grandma's funeral, I was privileged to preside in the place where both my grandfather and my great-grandfather had preached the Word of God. When we were all gathered together in Calendar for her funeral, she passed away end of August, early September, but we had to wait till October time to get all the family together. So October, it's harvest time. And on the day of my grandmother's funeral, the men left the combines in the fields, right where they were at that moment, to go home, get dressed, and come to the funeral. They just turned them off and got out and left them in the field, and they came to the funeral, came to the graveside service. Then they stayed to share in the bereavement meal, and they ate a good portion of bereavement meal because they went back home, put their work clothes back on, and went right back out into that field where the combine was left in the morning to continue in resuming the harvest. Back to where they had stopped just a few hours earlier, they had to resume, and they were going to continue all through the night. From planting to harvesting, the months pass, months filled with faith, as the bounty of the harvest is entirely dependent upon the Lord. The farmers, as a part of it, and I've seen it, they do their part in the fields year after year. And on a smaller scale, you home gardeners do your part in your garden, as I did my little part with my funny-faced eggshells and green hair, or bald as can be. The harvest is still the Lord's. The harvest is the Lord's. To grow and multiply, it is the Lord's. The harvest is entirely the Lord's. Such it is with the kingdom of God. Mark 4, we have a series of parables. A parable is a story which takes a very common image of daily life to teach heavenly truth. Mark 4, beginning of verse 26. He, that's Jesus, also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." This parable, using the well-known image of scattering seeds to grow a crop. This parable, told by Jesus, is found only here in the Gospel of Mark. So it seemed that this parable Jesus told made an impression on Peter to retell it often, so as Mark would include this parable in his account of Peter's testimony. The kingdom of God is like. This is the English from the Greek. "Thus is the kingdom of God, as a man should cast the seed upon the earth." Thus, the Greek word is houtos. Houtos, and it means in this manner, in this way, or in accordance with this description. The description of the kingdom of God is as a man scattering seeds upon the earth. Time passes. You can sleep at night and rise at night. Doesn't matter. Day after day, time passes. And the seed sprouts. And as more time passes, it grows even more. It happens in this manner. Happens in a manner. The English from the Greek, he knows not how. That's the English from the Greek, he knows not how. That is knows, the word knows in its root is I do. The root word of knows is I do. And the meaning is aware, behold, consider, perceive. Properly in usage, it means to see with the physical eye, with the physical eye, to bridge into the spiritual. It's a natural bridge to the metaphorical. This seeing becomes knowing as a gateway to grasp the spiritual truth, the reality of that spiritual truth from this physical space that's before your eyes. So it's naturally how that's how parables work too. From the physical before your eyes, you grasp the spiritual reality that we can't see but is there. So here you have that idu. It means to grasp the spiritual. So the physical becomes the means of the bridge to the mental and spiritual seeing and comprehension. Just as the sower scatters the seed on the ground, the seeds grow in a manner unseen till the stalk bursts forth in the ground. Then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When the grain is ripe, time for the sickle, time for the harvest has come. The sower is Jesus in this instance, scattering the word of God into the hearts of the people. The word is hidden in the heart and it begins to grow, imperceivable at first. And over time, as the growth continues, we see a changed person. As the work of grace in the soul, working the small things into the mighty things, till the time of the harvest, which is to go to heaven. The seed scattered. It's the word of God being scattered. By bringing in the earlier parables there in Mark chapter 4, of the seed falling along the path, the rocky places amongst the thorns on the good soil. The accountability of where the seed falls is also present. Matthew Poole writes in his commentary, if we're expounded in relation to what went before, the scope of it seemeth to be to let us know that God will have an account of men for their hearing of his word. And therefore men had need to take heed what they hear. When Jesus speaks the word, it is like a sower scattering the seed. The word goes out, scattered out like seed. The word enters the ears as the seed falls on the earth, the soil. Hence Jesus saying in Mark chapter 4, verse 9, amongst the parables, Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. The word falls onto the soul of the person, a place that is hidden from view as the seed is beneath the soil of the earth. In that hidden place, the word of God begins to take hold and grow little by little, night and day growing. The parable began with, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Kingdom in Greek is basileia, basileia. And it means the realm in which the king's sovereignty rules. So it's not thinking of the kingdom and the building and the walls and the structure. It's really about where the authority of the king rules. It's the realm and sovereignty of the king's rule. There is a king, and the rule of the king has now come to this place. As the word of God scatters seed into the soul of the person, with that seed beginning to sprout in that person, the rule and reign of God begins to be in that person, in the soul of the person. That's why it says the kingdom of God is like, because now that rule and reign and authority of God is coming to be in that person, in that individual soul. As that seed grows in the crowd, the influence of the Word in the soul begins to grow from the inside out. As the seed scattered into the crowd, each individual person, the influence begins to grow in the individual persons. And as more and more seed is scattered, more and more influence becomes into the individual persons. The kingdom of God, that rule and reign of God, expands, and the life of the church grows. For it means the Word of God is being scattered and sown. The preaching of the Word of God, the living gospel, is essential for the life of the church. For it means the Word of God being scattered and sown seeds in the hearts and souls of men, women, and children of all ages. All ages. Young children, just as they learn English or whatever language is spoken in the house at home, they learn it by hearing. The seeds of God's Word can be scattered in those lives as they're learning to speak from the youngest of age. The scattering of seeds grows a person. And now the scattering of seed would be passed on to the disciples as the sent ones, the apostles, apostolos. It simply means sent ones. And from the sent ones, the apostles, the scattering of the seed was handed down to the next generation, and then to the next generation, and on through the generations, through the centuries. The preaching of the Word of God, the living gospel, is essential for the life of the church. For that means that the Word of God is being scattered and sown as seeds into the hearts and souls of people of all ages. Lucas Cranach, an artist, a painter in the time of Martin Luther. He's probably the one that has the famous Luther portrait. It was by Lucas Cranach. He painted the picture of Martin Luther preaching. Luther is in the pulpit, high and in the pulpit, preaching. Luther's left hand is down on the pulpit on top of the open Bible. Luther's not looking in the Bible, looking at the Bible. Rather, the Bible is the source and ground for the Word being preached. Luther's looking up. And his right hand is extended and pointing out. Bringing the words of the Bible out into the current context of the people. Luther's right hand is pointing to the crucified Christ. Christ crucified is in the center of the painting. And is to attract the full attention of the observer. Hence the full attention of the hearer of the word preached is Christ crucified. See Christ first. See Christ as the word is preached. On the right is Luther in the pulpit, preaching. In the middle of the painting, taking the largest portion of the painting, is Christ crucified on the cross, Christ crucified. And then on the left portion of the painting, so you got Luther on the right, Christ in the middle, and on the left portion of the painting is the people gathered hearing the word. Luther takes the smallest part of the picture. Christ takes the largest part. And then the people are larger than Luther in that picture. I mean, it's an amazing portrait. I encourage you to look it up. And so you see, the focus is Christ crucified, filling the space. Christ crucified. The congregation is being pointed to Christ crucified. The kingdom of God is like a man who scattered seed on the ground. Agrarian images are bound in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Both our readings from Ezekiel chapter 17 and Psalm 1 have images of trees. Psalm 1 describes a person who delights in the law of the Lord, who walks in the way of the Lord. It's like a tree planted by streams of water. I mean, one of the best places to grow. It grows, it flourishes, it bears fruit, never withers. Such is the refreshing power of the Word of God. Ezekiel 17, the Lord takes a tender sprig from the topmost branch of a tree and plants it plants it high on the mountain heights of Israel, the tiny sprig will grow to be a great branch, grow to be with great branches and bear fruit, a splendid and strong cedar such that birds of every kind will find safety and shelter as they dwell in the nest. An image of the gospel going to all the nations, because people of all the nations will come to find shelter in this tree. The Lord has spoken and will do it. The Lord speaks and will do it. Listen then for the similarities now in Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 30, to Ezekiel and Psalm, especially the Ezekiel. But listen. Again, Jesus said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? What parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." In other words, birds come perch in the safety of that bush. From the Helps Word Study, for the Greek word translated as mustard, it talks about this. The mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds that a Judean farmer would sow in his field. A mustard plant reaches a height of about 10 feet. A huge plant when fully mature and bears very tiny seeds. So you have a huge plant, very tiny seeds. From a very small start, the Word of God grows. Grows to where shelter and safety will be found. From a small start of just a few in Jerusalem, the Word of God will spread across the world. The kingdom of God grows. And as the seed in the ground grows without you nudging it or digging it up and checking on its progress, the kingdom of God will grow in the heart and soul and be shared with others to grow in their hearts and souls also. The Lord said this will happen, and the Lord will do it, as the Lord God has done through the eons before us. As this is Father's Day, a word for you. Fathers, plant the seed of God's word in the heart and soul of your son and your daughters, your sons and your daughters. You are very special and important as father in doing this kingdom of God building task. And you be a father figure in a child's life, because there's so many children have no father in their life. Be a father figure in their life. Because right now we live in an age of a lot of fatherless kids. So be a father in their life. And most importantly, show them as dad the love of God. And also show them the love to worship on Sunday mornings. That it's so important that you plant a seed that grows lifelong in them. So it's a lifelong habit of gathering to hear the Word of God preached as the family of God gathered as the local congregation. Fathers, you are so important in doing this, showing the love of the Father and the power of the Word of God. Only God knows what the Lord will do through your son or your daughter in the years to come with such a witness of faith coming from you, fathers, into their lives, especially their young lives and their teenager lives, and actually all through their life. But the word of faith shown. And for all of us to remember the scattering of the seed. Share the word of God, as Matthew 28 says. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority of heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus is the crucified and risen Lord. In Christ alone, is found forgiveness of sin and redeeming grace. The word and truth about this Jesus is the Christ has power to bring life, new life, to the dead heart and soul of a lost and broken. Just like seed scattered onto the ground, you will see that ground come to life. The Word of God is powerful. Cast the seeds of the Word. That is your work to do. Cast the seeds. Leave the rest to the work of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit will do the work of growing of the seeds that you cast according to that mystery of the will of God. We proclaim and point to Christ, the crucified and risen Lord, by casting the seed of the Word of God into the lives of men, women, girls, and boys. The growing of the seed into faith and saving grace of a new life in Christ is the work of God. So don't fret if you don't see any sprigs growing. Don't fret if you don't see anything starting to grow. That's not your work. Your work is to cast the word. And the work of God is to build that faith, to birth that faith, to nurture that faith. The work of God bringing out the faith that we walk with God in discipling others. It's God's work, the growing of the seed into the faith and the saving grace into that new life in Christ is the work of God. So till the harvest time comes, you be known as ones whose seeds are sown. Seeds sown. Cast the word of God into another's life. For you never know what great thing God will do. And he will do it as his holy word says. Amen. And amen.